Well, I would appreciate your prayers. I want the Lord to, as Brother Rick mentioned the scripture this morning, the word of the Lord would have free course. Aren't you thankful the Spirit of the Lord knows how to speak to each one of us right where we are and according to the need that we each individually have? And that's our prayer this morning. I'd like to look at Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. In these scriptures is captured so much of what life covers. What is included in life? We understand that life is made of seasons that we go through. And I'm thankful that the Lord is the God of each one of those seasons. That He is the God that reigns over the day and the God that reigns over the night. He's the God of the mountain and He's the God of the valley. The Lord knows the times appointed in our lives. And one scripture, I believe, said He sets the one over against the other. The Lord knows how to work in our lives according to the seasons that He brings our way, that which He sees is best. But I'd like for us to especially notice the sixth verse. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. I want to think this morning of the thought of letting go. Letting go. There's a time to get. There's a time to keep. And there's a time to cast away. A time to let go. I'd like to look at a few scriptures found in the New Testament this morning of things that believe that we are to cast away. I'd like to look at Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians chapter 4. The 22nd verse. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. The 31st verse says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know, there are some things that the Lord wants us to put away. Some things the Lord wants us to let go of. You know, it's one of the things that the enemy tries to work with people so strongly in their minds that I can't let go of this. I can't give that up. I can't turn away from this sin, from this pleasure that I find in sin. I just can't fathom turning loose of that. And I've heard people tell me that I can never give that up. Well, the way you live, I can never do that. You know, I couldn't live the way that I live without the Lord's help. But before we can receive from the Lord what He has for us, We've got to be willing to let go of some things. The old man, with its affections and its lusts and desires. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. We have to be willing to let go of some old things. Let them go. The old man and the old life and the old sins. You know, that's what repentance is. And it's something that I fear is left out too much in our religious dialogue in the world today. If any man is going to follow Christ, it involves and requires a repentance, a turning away from, a letting go of those old sins and those old habits and those old ways of life that the old man knew. We're a new creature in Christ, but I can't be both. Jesus said that no man can serve two masters. You can't hold to both. Either you'll love the one and you'll hate the other. You'll hold to the one and you'll turn loose of the other. You can't hold to both. People want to be able sometimes to live the best, if you will, the best of both worlds. I want to be able to hold on to the world, and I want to be able to hold on to the Lord. I want to be able to have the Lord's favor, and I want to be able to have the world's favor. The world's love. I want to love the Lord and to love the world at the same time. But the scripture says you can't do that. We're going to have to choose this day whom we will serve. And when we choose, we've got to turn loose and be willing to let go of that old man. Instead of lying, of bitterness, of wrath, of clamoring, of all those things that were inherent to that old man, oh, the Lord has something new for us. Where old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. But how hard it is sometimes for people to let go. To open up the grip, their grip in life, and to let go and give it to the Lord. Romans, the 13th chapter. Romans 13 and 12 says, "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, chambering and wantonness and strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Oh, the Lord's got something for us to put on Himself, for us to be clothed in His righteousness and His alone. But I'm going to have to be willing to let go of those other things that I clothed myself with, that I identified myself with, that I might be able to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, to cast off those works of darkness. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, read of a man that made a decision. This man, Moses, by faith Moses, the 24th verse, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. There was something that he saw beyond the palace of Egypt and beyond the finery of everything that he had. He was looking to something beyond that. He looked beyond the pleasures of sin that were just for a season and for a moment. And he had respect unto that recompense of reward. That's what he was striving for. But you know, before he could obtain that, there was something that he had to let go of. He had to be willing to forsake the finery of Egypt and all that it held for him. And if we're going to make heaven our home, we're going to have to quite simply let go of the things of this world. To be willing to loosen our grip and let go of the pleasures of sin and the things of this world. To be able to follow Christ and to be able to be counted as one of His children. Moses counted the cost, and he was willing to let go of those things and to choose God's way. Thinking about this morning somebody who had trouble with this. Found in the 17th chapter of Luke is a reference unto her. Luke 17. And the 32nd verse says, "Remember Lot's wife." Do you? You remember Lot's wife? Why was the Lord telling us to remember her? There's a lesson to be learned by the lives of others and the decisions that they made. Lot's wife, if you remember, Lot and his wife had chosen to pitch their tent towards Sodom and in the direction and build their lives in that wicked city. Now it says of Lot that his righteous soul was vexed from day to day by the conversation of the wicked. But in those years that they lived in Sodom, they had children. Those children found companions, and they weren't willing to heed the warning. Whenever the Lord sent the warning and said, "Because of the wickedness of this city, I'm going to destroy it." And the Lord gave them time to go and to warn their daughters and their sons-in-laws, but they mocked and they scorned it and wouldn't have anything to do with it. So the time finally came that they said, "Don't wait any longer. Don't tarry any longer in this city, because it's going to be destroyed. It's time for you to get up and to go." And I believe the scripture says, if you read it there in Genesis, I think the 19th chapter, that the angels actually took them by the hand with urgency, leading them out. "It's time to go. You can't stay here any longer. You're going to be caught up in this if you stay any longer." How hard is it to leave everything behind? I think about tragedies like fire. You imagine seeing your house going up in flames and thinking of everything in there. The things that are valuable, that are precious to me. Well, of course, family and all. But think of irreplaceable keepsakes and memories that have been passed down from parents and grandparents, and the memories we made together as family, and all of those in that place. There are people that have lost their lives for running back in trying to save something. To think about a man who was a guitarist in a band, and as they were playing in the concert, the place caught fire and they tried to evacuate the people, and the band members made it out of the building. But he remembered that his special guitar was still inside the building. And he rushed back in to try to save it, and in doing so, he lost his life in the fire. The urgency of this is that, folks, there is judgment coming on the world and the wickedness thereof. And we cannot afford to become caught up in the things of this world, the pleasures of this world, and the sin that it holds. The Lord is calling for us to be separate from this world. Though we live in the world, we're not to be a part of it. Though we're in the world, we're not to be of the world. The Lord calls us to live lives that are separate and holy unto the Lord in this present world, with all of its wickedness and all of its confusion of what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil. The Lord calls us to be a people who are separate and called out. You know, to be called out, we have to be willing to let go of what we're being called out of. And whenever Lot and his wife were on their way out, the instructions were very clear. Don't look back. Why would it matter? You've got to cut the ties. You've got to be willing to look forward and not look back. Don't allow your heart to go after the things that you've left behind. And I believe that message is still relevant for us today. Those of us who have decided we want to follow the Lord, don't allow yourself to look back on the things of this world and long for the things that it holds. But Lot's wife, despite the warnings, looked back. And I'm sure that we can understand that. I've already tried to describe the sentiment, the emotions that she would feel leaving all that behind. Understand it. But the Lord said, don't look back. I'm calling you to something else. I'm calling you out and away from destruction. But she looked back and was made a pillar of salt. And the Lord Jesus hearkens back to that time and says, remember Lot's wife. Remember that. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Jesus said also in the 9th chapter of Luke. Luke 9 and 59. He said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You're not going to be able to make it. If you've got heaven set as your home, we're not going to be able to put our hand to the plow and live our lives looking back at the things of the world, allowing our hearts to go after the things that are forbidden. You know, this salvation that the Lord calls us unto, there is self-denial that's involved in it. We're going to have to be willing to die out to ourselves, die out to the flesh. We're going to have to be willing to say no to the desires and carnal propensities of the flesh and to say no and deny ourselves. But you know, this walk with the Lord is not only about self-denial. The Lord does not just take away from us and leave a vacuum. You know, it's what a vacuum is. If you remove something, if you suck the air out of something, it leaves a vacuum. And that vacuum was to draw into it what's in the environment around us. The Lord doesn't just say, I want you to leave the world. I want you to leave your sins. I want you to leave the entertainments of the world that the flesh fed on. And I want you to just sit with idle hands and idle minds and nothing to do, and it's just a life of a slave in a straitjacket, and you can't do this and you can't do that. Oh, if that's our perspective of salvation, the Lord wants to change our perspective and our mind, because the Lord wants to win us by His love, and the Lord wants to replace, not just remove, but the Lord wants to replace. Oh, Isaiah said that the Lord wants to take and give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. But you know, we've got to be willing to let go of the little piddling that we have in order to receive what the Lord wants to exchange. The Lord does not just strip away from us, but He says, child, can I have that? Because I want to give you something so much greater than that. But how many people hold on to their little sparkly fool's gold in their hands, clutching it as tightly as they can? And the Lord's saying, oh, I've got real gold for you. I've got true gold that doesn't pass away for you. But the world, so many people in it, are unwilling to let go of the glittery things of this world and of sin to be able to obtain the true gold that doesn't pass away. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews 12 and 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Oh, there's some people in here that People in here that were called to let go. Abram, you remember he's called out in this chapter before this. He was called to let go of a land that was all he had known. Let go of that because I've got a land that I want to give you. But I can't give you that land. I can't give you the promise until you're willing to let go of what you have now. And you know, it's the way that it is. Whenever we decide to follow Jesus, whenever we decide to consecrate our lives to Him, it is an act of letting go, of giving it to God. And so many through this who are willing to leave, I already mentioned Moses, those who are willing to leave the comforts and the pleasures of this life and find in its place reproach, and those who were sawn asunder and had trials and scourgings and mockings and all of those kind of things, but they found with us something far greater. Paul talked about it. Something that caused him to say, these light afflictions that are but for a moment, that it's working something far greater and an exceeding weight of glory. Well, this cloud of witnesses, considering this, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Children might remember one day for kind of family devotions, we said, children, let's go have a relay race or a race in the backyard. Now here's the thing, and we gave them some weights and said, we want you all to carry these in a race. I think we timed it and whatever. Well, of course, they found that whenever they were able to run the race the second time around without the weights, they ran so much faster. The time was better. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. We've talked this morning about letting go of the pleasures of sin, letting go of the old man and its ways, turning loose of those things that the Lord calls us from, calling us out of the land of Egypt, a type of sin. But you know, it gets closer than that. There are some things that the Lord calls for in our lives that we can look at that may fall in the category of what the Scripture says. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. There are things that I may be able to look at and reason in my mind. There's no reason why I should have to give this up. There's no reason why I should have to deny myself. You can't tell me it's sin. You can't tell me that if I watch this or do this or involve myself with this in my life, that I'm not going to be able to make heaven. You can't prove it in Scripture. But I'm going to tell you, our perspective needs to be greater than, can I squeak past? Can I just make it? But I want to be able and be willing to lay aside any weight, anything that would hinder me, that would hold me back, because I want to be able to run this race. What are some of those weights that could hinder us? You know, there are things that can take up our time. There are things that can occupy our mind and our thoughts for hours on end. Well, technology has certainly catered to that. That there are apps and games and devices and things that if we allow it, will consume hours upon hours of our time. You know, there are things that I may not be able and have no interest in trying to prove that that's sinful. But we've got to have the mindset and the heart set to say, Lord, if there's something that's hindering me, if there's something that's weighing me down and running this race, Lord, I want to give it up. I want to be willing to turn loose of that thing. I believe Jesus said that it would be better for you to cut off your hand that offends you or pluck out your eye rather than for you to lose heaven, your home. Think of the story of Aaron Ralston. He was a hiker that was out west, maybe Utah or one of the western states, and was hiking through a slot canyon, crawling over a boulder when his weight shifted the boulder and it pinned his arm between the boulder and the canyon wall. Long story short, he was there, I think, for 5 days, pinned. No, couldn't go anywhere. Nobody knew where he was. And he finally got desperate enough that he realized, if I don't do something desperate, I'm going to die right here. Nobody's going to know. They'll find my bones one day. And he took a little dull pocket knife that he had, and he began cutting off that arm that was pinned. He began sawing and hacking, and when he got to the bone, he had to move in such a way to crack the bone. Things that for us to think of willfully doing that, it just makes me grimace. But he was desperate to be free. He was desperate to not be pinned to that location and die there. You know, we have to have a sense of desperation to go to heaven. I don't want anything to hinder me. I'm not willing to let anything hold me back. I'm not willing to allow some little thing in my life. And I'll tell you another weight that the Lord has had to deal with me at with time. Attitudes. I'm not willing to let that attitude hold me back. I can look at it and say, I'm so justified in the way I feel. I'm so justified. Look at what they did to me after all. And a righteous indignation. You know, everyone's indignation seems righteous to them. I've got a cause here. I'm going to stand up for myself and my rights. I'm not going to let anybody run over me. Well, Jesus did. In my marriage, my relationships, in the congregation, with my neighbors, you know, there are some things that I have to be willing to let go of. You know, resentment is one of those weights. You know, we can carry resentment for years without maybe even realizing that I'm carrying this weight along with me. But there can be things that if I'm not careful, I feed and that I hold on to. There can be offenses or things that feel like I've been done wrong from years and years ago that I still hold on to. You know, those things will be a weight to us. And the Lord calls us to let go. Let it go. Be willing to turn loose. Be willing to forgive. Be willing to open your hands and let it go. And move on in the Lord. I don't want any weight to hold me back. And it may hurt. I may look at it and say, I don't know how I could let go. How could I cut my arm off? It's better to do that than to lose your soul. If there's something that I look at and I realize, you know what? I don't see how I can part with this. Lord, help us to be willing and to find some let go grace. To be able to turn those things loose. You know, one of the things that I have to be able to let go of is something that's described in a song. Number 111. God's way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. Forsake thy fears and doubts, but trusting, submit thyself into his hand. You know, faith involves letting go. I can remember when my children were young. Now, I don't, you may think it's bad parents. I don't remember why, but they were up on our roof. And one of them decided to jump to me. Thankfully, he called my name before he jumped. And I was able to reach out and grab you. There was no question in his mind but that Daddy's going to catch me. There's no doubt. I know. Daddy, here I come. Oh, Lord, give us a childlike faith. Because our minds want to try to reason and figure it out and know. And Lord, I've got to hold on to control of something. I can't let go. Lord, this is my control. I'm in control here. And I feel like if I turn loose, I'm out of control. And the Lord's saying, child, turn loose. Let go, child. Let go. I've got it. And I've got you. Remember when the Lord called me to ministry. I remember feeling so desperate and so helpless and so overwhelmed. And Lord, I can't do it. I don't know what to do. And I have pictures in my mind, of course, of standing up and trying to, I couldn't, not even being able to say anything and having to sit down in humiliation and all of that. And I remember the Lord coming along and so patiently dealing with me and working with me and brought a song to me, lean hard on Him, O tested soul, on Him thy cares and burdens roll. Lean hard on Him. And the Lord spoke to me and let me know that I needed to jump. Well, it came to me, Lord, I'm at the edge of a cliff here. And the Lord's saying, jump. You ever done that? Well, it's hard to let go of what seems, what you're familiar with and what you know and your comfort zone. It's like a security blanket. The way things have been, the way I've known them, when the Lord calls me into a place that's outside of that, it makes you real uncomfortable real quick. You know, the Lord wants us to let go so that we can let God. Let go so that we can trust in Him. I was at a place, it was the Creation Museum, and they had a deal where you can climb up three flights of stairs, and I made the mistake of kind of daring my children. Dad was with me, daring my children that, hey, if y'all are brave, you want to be a man, you get up there and jump off of there. And well, they ended up taking me up on it, and then Dad decided to use the same reasoning with me. And I had a hard time wiggling out of it after what I had said to the boys, and so I followed him, and you know, it looks a lot further down than it does up. The time you get up there, and I walked to the edge of that platform, and it was called a free fall. You know, we had to pay money for it too. A free fall where they tether you on, and you go to the edge, and they won't even push you. You're supposed to do it free will. And you step off of a perfectly sound platform and into nothingness. It took me a little while. But with family looking on below and my words still ringing in my ears, I finally took the step. And it felt like I left my heart up there and everything else going down. But sure enough, it caught me. You know, the Lord is so much more dependable than a tether, a rope, a lifeline, folks, where the Lord calls us to. Be willing to let go. The Lord can call us into some hard places where it can be so hard to let go. You know, the Lord wants us, and there are things of this life that there's nothing wrong with. You know, the Lord wants us to enjoy family and enjoy good, wholesome time together and things like that. You know, the Lord also doesn't want us to hold anything or anyone so tightly that when He calls for me to go home or He calls for them to go home, that I can't let go. Think about what we read in Mark, the 10th chapter. Mark chapter 10, the 28th verse. Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold Now, in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. What the Lord calls us to give up, He'll replace 100-fold. What the Lord calls for in this life, child, let it go. Let go of it. Be willing to turn loose of that. You know, sometimes the Lord is calling us to places of deeper consecration. Sometimes He's calling us closer to Him. Child, that's taking up your time. Would you be willing to let go of it for me? Would you be willing to turn loose of that? Oh, the Lord will replace and not leave a vacuum. Not leave us feeling empty. He'll replace and refill 100-fold. In this life and in the world to come, eternal, everlasting life. So what is it the Lord has called for in your life? Let's be willing. Lord, help us and give us the grace to be able and willing to let go. Think about, you read even in Scriptures, the story of Jonah, the story of Paul. Whenever the sailors encountered rough seas, they had to start chucking things overboard. And there are times in life when we're going to hit some rough seas, and the Lord's going to call for us to start chucking some things overboard. Child, it's time to start examining. It's time to start digging. It's time to start looking. Lord, is there anything in me? Lord, I am desperate for an answer to prayer. I'm desperate to have more of your help and of your blessing and of your... Lord, and as we begin to seek, you know, there may be some things the Lord says, I want you to chuck that overboard and lighten the load. You ever heard of Leverites? They were items that littered the Oregon Trail. People who left their homes out east wanted to take their most prized possessions with them. In some cases, and sometimes, that was as big as the family organ. And we're going to take that, and I can't leave that behind. Load that up in the wagon, and all was fine as they're moving across Kansas and Nebraska. But then you start hitting the mountains, and suddenly everything's not fine. And there were many, many wagons that had to stop and, over no doubt tears and anguish, say, I'm going to leave her right here. Well, they called them Leverites. I'm going to leave her right here. Because I can sit here with my prized possessions, and I'm going to die here, and it's going to rot here. Or I can say I'm willing to let go and leave it right here, because I'm going to go on to what they considered a promised land. Lord, help us to be willing to do the same. If they were willing to do that to reach Oregon, Lord, help us to be willing to have that kind of mindset to reach heaven, our home. If there's anything that would hinder or hold me back, anything that I've held on to, that the Lord is calling for me to let go of, oh, folks, it'll be worth it. Song says, I don't want anything here to hinder me. I want to make heaven my home. I don't want a moment here below to hinder me from being able to make heaven my home. So Lord, help us again this morning to be willing to let go of those things that the Lord calls for. And you know, there's a flip side to this as well. We started with a scripture that says there's a time to gather and a time to cast away. There's some things that we've talked about this morning that we need to be willing to cast away. But you know, there are some things that we're to hold close. Scripture says, hold that fast which thou hast. Let no man take thy crown. It says to buy the truth and sell it not. Hold fast to it. Hold on to it. Don't let it go. Don't let loose. Don't loosen your grip. Hold fast to those things of eternal value. let go and let loose of the things of this world and of those things that there's nothing wrong with, the Lord gives us to care for in this life of houses and cars and whatever possessions, hold them loosely enough that if the Lord calls for them, I'm willing to say, Lord, it's yours. I hold it with an open palm. Lord, while you've given it to me, I'll make the best use of it in consecrating it to you. But Lord, help me not to start wrapping those fingers around it. This is mine. I'm holding on. It's mine. Because really, nothing is ours. Our breath is given to us by God. Our strength, our life, everything that we have is from the Lord. You pray for me. Amen.